Okay.
We are back.
Okay, alright.
What was that? What kind of a start is that?
Kind of a start is your face.
Probably. We're back again for another kind of tofu podcast. What was that? No, like, I know we were discussing a little bit off the podcast. What was that we walked into? We walked into this room and there was just two, a man and a woman just sort of standing pressed against the table. I don't know what it was they were doing.
They were quite clearly dancers.
Now, that's... You thought that, I didn't think that.
No, they were. A, I'm pretty sure she was wearing dance shoes. B, they cleared the tables from the centre of the room to get a big space.
Okay.
And he was not wearing his trainers. What the dancers call their stocking feet.
Maybe it was just a really weird date. I think it could have been. Let's not talk about dates.
Yeah.
We can talk about films and stuff.
Yeah, let's not talk about dates.
Yeah.
And weird ones, especially.
Yeah. It was weird.
They were dancers. They were dancing.
Dancers. We've got a few DVDs in front of us. We are exchanging DVDs. I'm giving David the West Wing. Season 2. And I'm getting Buffy season 1, because I am not seen it.
You're woefully inadequate, is what you're
saying. I'm woefully inadequate in a lot of things. Let's not get into that.
I actually really like this DVD, because it's a special edition one.
This is a great visual.
It folds out into a cross.
That is quite
snazzy. And it's brilliant.
Snazzy.
I love it.
That's a little bit snazzy. It's just me and you today, David.
Yeah.
Carol's...
Your hetero life partner, Carol, couldn't be here.
I don't know what that means. he's in Prague doing a documentary film festival, so we couldn't get anybody to fill in. What you watched this week?
Everything.
You've watched everything this week?
Watched a lot this week. Watched a lot of The West Wing. And by a lot, I mean all of season 1.
I gave you that last Thursday.
Yeah.
And that's taking you, a week to watch, 22 episodes? That's a lot. That's a lot. That's good, man. I mean, that's
like, well, I had nothing else to do.
Nothing.
And like when I have nothing more pressing to do, and I have a series to watch, I'll just watch all of it.
Well,
like
that, you know, The West Wing was, I think, is one of the best TV programs ever to have been made. And that was the reason I picked Politics and Second Jew. Big mistake.
Yeah, I'd imagine
because
so.
Nothing to do with The West Wing. We didn't even discuss.
Shocker.
We didn't even discuss American politics, which was.
Preston Bartlett never came up.
Preston Bartlett never came up. I thought maybe I'll go in and I'll try and sort of portray one of the characters in the show and be all like Josh Lyman or Toby Sealer.
I can only imagine how badly that failed.
I just sat there silently and it was like a youth version of the Houses of Parliament. It was really awful, man. Because a lot of these people had views on things, so I was like, I'm a TV guy. I watch things and go, this is amazing. It was awful.
Mm-hmm.
But politics, you know, it was interesting, but just not
what I did see actually this week, that film Safe House.
That, Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds. Good.
As well as watching off the West Wing, I saw that. No.
Not good.
No.
Wow.
It was really about 75% chase.
Okay.
I mean, done well, but about 75% chase.
Oh, you mean like running?
Yeah, like 75% chasing, basically.
Okay.
And like there is fuck off with a spoiler warning. There is the sort of twist is that there is a mole in the CIA.
Now that's a twist. Is that not revealed in the trailer?
Is it?
Well, I hope it is, because you know, if not, then I'm not going to get anything from that film, Twists and Turns. I knew this was coming. How did you know it's coming? Because David told me.
No, but like, there is, like, if you look at what happens, even just in the plot synopsis, there's quite clearly going to be a traitor in the CIA.
I think there is something like that. I'm not entirely sure.
Almost from about the third or fourth time he was on screen.
You just said screen there, mate. Sorry, you just said screen. We continue.
I'm sorry, are you now just... Jonathan Ross would take that as a personal insult.
Yeah.
From about the third or fourth time this person was on screen.
Okay.
In my head, all that was cool. It's clearly him.
Oh, right, so you know who it is.
It's clearly going to be him. Now, in my head, I was thinking, I wouldn't make it him, but they're clearly going to make it him.
Mm-hmm. There's, I don't like that when I think it's more on TV and stuff. Like when they bring an actor in, and it's this big actor, and then they show him the opening, and you think, well, that's going to be the bad guy. You know who it is, and they do that in films a lot as well. Mm. You know, in trailers, well, that annoys me. They show the bad guy in the trailer, which just irritates me. It just annoys me.
Trailers have sort of lost their art.
They're
supposed to tease the film, not give you the plot of the film.
Yeah, all the trailers are just like the whole film. I think that's last week. Might shock you. Woman in Black. Oh. Very scary. I was terrified for most of the time.
You're terrified about a lot of things, though.
That's the thing. It's like I was speaking to people, and I think they were of the opinion that, or the false knowledge that I was a seasoned horror fan, or at least watch scary films, and don't get frightened when I turn around and my cat's there, which happens. And
we should point out, well, by cat you mean your kitten.
Oh yeah, kitten. Yeah. Well, yeah, kitten. He's a little kitten. He's been through I won't talk about this, but he's been through the snip today.
So. Trish has became a cat lady.
Anyway, the Woman in Black. People are saying, it's not really that scary. But there are also people who kind of, you know, watch things like, I don't know, really scary films. I can't tell you. Scary movie actually gave me some chills at some points.
What?
It's just not nice. But not, it was dead scary.
Scary movie is a spoof of scary movies.
It's a scary thing, isn't it? You know, so it was like...
Not really.
Well, okay. Maybe that, I can't remember Scary Movie that much. But anyway, well, I mean, it's designed, it's called Scary Movie. You think, it's going to be a bit scary. No, Woman in Black, very good. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it.
It's actually, well, see, that's the thing. I don't watch scary films. Mm. It was scary to me, but I think a lot of people who watch scary films, it's not that scary. So, which, you know, it worked for me.
A lot worked for you, though.
Yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Daniel Radcliffe is very good. What I'll say is it's very, very different from the book. I mean, extremely different from the book. Like at one point I leaned over to the Wixie Bear and I was like, this is not in the book. Like, because the book and the film are completely separate things.
Yeah.
Like completely separate. Uh-huh. I don't know what they do in the stage play. There's so many elements like from like the halfway point that's just not in the book, and it's better. That mm-hmm. actually it's quite interesting.
Yeah.
It's very scary.
Yeah, well, like there's a lot of discussion about adapting books to films. And a lot of people get really annoyed when people change mm-hmm. the book for the film. And you just have to sort of think of, sometimes it's necessary. There's a lot that works in books that does not work on film. A lot of it is pacing.
Right.
And John Green, author, of some very good books, actually, and video blogger.
What does he write?
He wrote a lot of young adult books. He wrote Looking for Alaska and Paper Towns, Abundance of Captains, The Fault in Our Stars. No. All very good books. But yeah, and he's... a bunch of his books were optioned to be filmed. And he was talking about it and said that, like, he doesn't really care if people change the plot elements of his books.
Yeah.
So long as they get the sort of spirit of it.
Okay.
So long as you get the feel of it. And, like, I think that's sort of right, really.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think.
I mean, there are some things that you can be sort of disappointed in with adaptions. And if you don't like people not putting the book literally on screen, watch Watchmen.
No, I've not seen that. Harry Potter came across some. I mean, they were genuinely quite faithful to the books.
Yeah, but they're bad.
The only
ones.
One that annoyed me, what?
They are.
What do you mean they're bad films?
They are bad films. They're not good films. That's... They're enjoyable.
No.
But, like, the kids can't act.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking more of... When I talk about Harry Potter films, I'm thinking more of the later ones.
Well, yeah, those ones do get better.
Four is my favourite book. Mm-hmm. But the kind of books are at least four chapters off the beginning, which annoy me.
Mm-hmm.
But 5, 6, and 7, B, A and B are great films. I cried when the last film finished. Honestly, it was. I mean, but that again, that's part of my kind of childhood, growing up.
Oh yeah, I mean, so the bit like the kids can't act. They get mildly better.
The kids can't act.
They can't.
I think in the first, yeah, maybe in the first couple that they're learning.
No, even in even in the little ones, they can't really act.
Dan Radcliffe's actually said that, but he's acting. He's sorry, there's a sound that I don't know what that is. It's like a Hoover or something.
Some sort of.
It's a dryer. It's a dryer next to the toilets. Not in the toilet, but next to the toilets. That'd be a weird podcast. We're recording from the.
By that you mean there's a toilet next door?
Yeah, there's a toilet next door. And what was I talking about? Dan Radcliffe.
Yes.
Yeah, he said that he even in the sixth one, he's watched it back and thought, oh, that's terrible acting.
Which
is quite good. That, I mean,
you're right.
That's an interesting, you know, for an actor to say.
And it's the same with the books. The books aren't necessarily well written. They're not like. Literature people will tell you that they're not good books.
Yeah, there's an argument.
They're not well written books. They're thoroughly enjoyable books, and they're wet, and it's a wonderful storyteller.
Right.
Like, J.K. Rowling is a wonderful storyteller. Is a better storyteller than she is a writer.
Right, okay. Now, that's where it kind of. It doesn't confuse me as much, but I'm.
But, like,
it's like.
There is a great extent of, well, who gives a shit?
I think I know what you mean. I think I know.
Like. Technically speaking, her writing isn't great.
Like George Orwell's writing is great and enjoyable.
Yes.
Like, no, I'm just reading 1984, I've got 100 pages in, so.
It's that sort of thing. Like, in terms of literature, her writing isn't great, but it's an incredibly well told story, an incredibly enjoyable and engaging story, so who gives a shit?
Yeah, well said.
A lot of things. But there is that distinction.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And it's the same with the films. The films aren't... They're not awfully made, but they're not the best crafted films. Mm-hmm. The kids can't act for shit. And a lot of them. The three main kids, anyway. But they're enjoyable. And it's a well-told story.
Gary Oldman's in them.
Gary Oldman's in them. So is Alan Rickman.
No. I was going to do an Alan Rickman impersonation, you know, the kind of drawl he does, but...
Yeah.
I'm not... You know, I'm not loosened up. You know,
my favourite part of the entire Harry Potter series, actually, is the Three Brothers story. And Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Yeah, are you talking about the films or the books?
The films.
The animation.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
The little animation thing. That was literally the best made part of the entire series. It was the best part. It was the most engaging, in my opinion.
That's I have a favourite kind of part. I love the Order of the Phoenix. I love the Order of the Phoenix. I can't see it.
The film or the book?
Both, actually. I think it's that they are.
I only read the first half of the book.
Oh, for God.
Because there's a kind of long complicated reason for this. It's not that complicated, but it's.
Okay.
I started reading it. At some point when it came out, like I got it when it came out, and I started reading it. I got up to just about the part that he went back to Hogwarts, so about halfway through.
Right.
Which was all completely butchered and cut out of the film, because he's back to Hogwarts within the first 10-20 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's like 10-20 it's like 20 chapters before he's back to Hogwarts in the book. But about that time, I went on holiday.
Okay.
Didn't take it with me. And then when I came back, I just kind of fell out of reading it. Okay. Fell out of the habit of reading it.
You fell out with the book.
By the time I get back, a bunch of other stuff was happening, so I hadn't read it in a while.
Okay.
And then eventually I realised it was a while afterwards that I realised I haven't finished that.
Wow.
And the new book was just coming out pretty soon. Uh-huh. So like I just thought of that. I could try and read it like that, or I could just go on the internet and find out what happens and read this new book.
That wasn't a complicated story. That was just a long story.
Yeah. I did add that caveat afterwards.
Wow.
It's not that complicated.
Talk about adaptations.
Back to Watchmen, briefly. Watchmen.
Okay.
Which I started talking about, and then we got into Harry Potter.
That actually comes in a minute, point I was going to make.
Watchmen is incredibly... They changed the ending a little bit to make it sort of make more sense, and it's the same sort of thing happens, but little details are changed.
Right.
But have you read the book?
I haven't. Is it a book or a graphic novel?
It's a graphic novel, but
no,
same thing.
Say,
it's a book. Okay. We just call it a book. Right. We just call it a book.
A book with pictures.
As a book.
Okay, just yeah, alright.
If you read the book and you watch the film,
right,
you can kind of appreciate and enjoy the fact that he's, Zack Snyder, really quite faithfully took the what is on the page and made it onto the screen.
Okay.
It's
not a big guy wanting about these jugglies out a lot, quite a lot in the film. Big blue guy.
Yeah.
Walks about just dangling.
Yeah.
Like a gym.
He doesn't need clothes.
The world's a changing room. He's
outside of time, he doesn't need clothes.
Okay, now that's. See, Doctor Who's kind of, you know, he's a time traveller guy. He needs clothes.
That'd
be a very different show.
Doctor Manhattan is a whole different thing. Doctor Who isn't outside of time, he travels within time.
Okay.
No
matter if you're a time traveller or just a regular Joe, wear some pants.
He's just outside of time.
Okay.
He's
still no excuse.
He's more akin to the Observers. To bring it back to something you know about.
Yeah, right, sorry.
He's more akin to the Observers. But yeah,
Watchmen.
Like, it's really faithful to the book. Yeah. And if you watch it, you can appreciate that and enjoy it. But, I read the book before I saw the film. But I can, like, as someone who watches a lot of films, I can sort of see that if you've not read the book, there are parts of the film that just drag on.
Okay.
Like the pacing in graphic novels is completely different from the pacing they've needed on film.
So you made it for the fans, really?
Yeah, like it made a brilliant adaptation of the
graphic novel.
The graphic novel, but it's not the best film, and about half of it in slow motion because Zack Snyder's not a great filmmaker.
Well, then we've watched Superman then.
No.
Not on the list. Well, actually, I don't really get too much of it, Superman. But the only reason I'm getting excited for that is because Christopher Nolan's bruising. That's it. That is.
Christopher Nolan's doing nothing in the film.
Yeah. Okay.
Christopher Nolan was involved to get it.
You've got to trust his judgment though in picking Zack Snyder to direct. You know, you've got to.
You seen 300?
I've not, I've deliberately not. Or Immortals.
It's hard.
I know that he didn't direct Immortals.
Sucker Punch, I've not seen, but just based on the trailer, it looks horrible.
Yeah, I've not seen that either. I've not seen a lot of Zack Snyder, I don't think I've seen any Zack Snyder films.
Watchmen, I really enjoy Watchmen. It is really good, but I can see parts of it where people would be like really bored if they haven't read the book.
Okay.
Because just the pacing is completely different. And there's something else I'm going to say, but I can't remember what it was.
On the subject of graphic novels, adaptations being awesome, Walking Dead.
Yes.
Is great. I mean, I've only read the first three volumes of the graphic. I don't know if they count comic books and then they just combined. I'm reading them as volume one.
The Walking Dead, that's a weekly book.
Right.
And it's released as comics.
Okay.
And then every now and again, they're compiled in a trade paperback, a certain amount of them.
Okay.
So what you're reading is the trades, basically.
So the graphic novels are incredible. And the show is completely in tune with that, but at the same time, I mean, I've been watching some behind the scenes.
Oh yeah, it's completely different.
It's completely different, which is good because I mean, it keeps. I mean, I would consider myself somebody who reads the graphic.
Yeah.
A fan of the graphic novels, even though I've not read them all.
Yeah.
But I'm reading. You know, I read volume one, I think, before season one finished.
Yeah, I really
want
to.
In,
oh yeah, like, they don't go as far as I'm aware. Fuck it, we'll put a spoiler warning in the description.
Spoiler alert.
Stop that.
That annoying, sorry.
As I was like, in the books, they don't go to the CDC.
No.
Like, that was a big change in season one.
At least not in volume one.
Yeah,
well.
That was a big change in season one.
Massive change.
If I remember correctly, Shane.
Yeah,
he died pretty early on.
The end of the volume. I mean, well, you've seen it now. The end of the comic, the first graphic novel,
mm-hmm.
Shane is dead.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, if people are watching the show, and have not seen the graphic novel.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Now I have not seen the latest episode from America.
Yes.
Now,
okay.
Have you?
I have.
Well, I don't want to know. I just don't. Because there's chairs in this room that will become splintered.
No, I'm not going to, but like, I don't particularly, like, this might just be me, but I'm watching the show, I will eventually read the graphic novels,
mm-hmm.
and I know they're different, And but like hearing people say that like Shane survived in the show mm-hmm. where he doesn't in the book, it doesn't like sort of I'm not like that. Well, you spoiled the book for me now because
no, he's not. I mean, it's and, like, good that they exist separately from each other.
Yeah, and it's genuinely interesting. And like so long as I don't hear anything from way down the line in the books,
yeah,
then like I'm okay with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a big thing that
like Darrow isn't in the books. I know.
Darrow's not in the books, no.
Darrow's a completely new character.
That's correct, yeah.
So, like, those two things, Shane being alive and Darrow, have sort of, like, affected
and
the way like, the stories from the book are being told now, on the show.
This is a massive spoiler. If you've not seen The Walking Dead season 2, if you've not read the graphic novels and you're listening, you know, just turn the volume down for the next couple of minutes. But there's a massive difference in season 2 of The Walking Dead in the comic books. Now, there's a massive change, which basically says this show is the same and different from the graph quite distinctly, you know what I mean? I mean, mm-hmm. it already does that.
Yeah.
But there's a massive thing in season 2 that's different from the graphic novels. I'm being very cryptic here because I don't think you don't want to know, do you? You're not bored.
The fact that you're being so cryptic makes me want to know what the fuck you're talking about.
Right. In the graphic novel, yeah. I can't remember what issue it is, but it very, very far down the line, Dale is still alive,
mm-hmm.
whereas he's just been...
Yes,
stomach ripped open.
Yeah.
Which was heartbreaking. Like, I mean, I was almost in tears. There's nothing we can do about that. Excuse me, driver, could you just stop reversing, please?
Sorry about that, love. I didn't hear that.
It's a jingle. It's a really slow jingle. No, I was heartbroken. Yeah. I was gutted. Like, I couldn't. Again, me and Aaron watched it. We stopped talking. We were having a chat through the show, but there was just this deadly silence, and just like I almost ripped my hair out. I could. She had the hand up to her mouth, and then it finished. We always paused because I'm sorry, but FX, the next time. So next time on.
Yeah.
Are awful. They just basically show you what's going to happen in the next episode. So we paused that, and then. And there was a couple minutes of silence. I just couldn't speak. I couldn't get any words out. Was, are you okay? I'm like, no. It was completely. And I actually think I read that on Twitter, but I just saw the words "R.I.P. Dale" and I just threw my phone across the room, which I've been doing quite often. Just for the fact that I've been on Twitter, I'm like, oh god, no, I don't want to see any spoilers. But even then, it was just completely. The emotion's still too raw. I don't even want to talk about it. It's too raw, man.
And then Darrow steps in and starts being the enforcer.
Just stop, man. I can't get through it again.
I like that moment. I really liked because it was sort of Darrow, weirdly connecting with Dale in a way.
Because he moved up. And
just sort of him becoming sort of a more a part of the group.
Well, I mean, even
like Rick was clearly having a hard time with the idea of shooting him.
Yeah.
And then Darrow just sort of that.
That episode is actually great for Darrow because he's not in it a lot, but there is that the group's going, so he is, and he is like, you know, he thinks he's this outsider, but he is.
Yeah. He tries to be this outsider, and that episode he seems to sort of start accepting the fact that he's not, and he has these people.
I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens, and I mean, there's only two episodes left. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. Elsewhere, I know they're in the third week of writing, and they've just finished the third. A couple of weeks ago, they finished the third week of writing, and Robert Kirkman was saying they'd never, you know, it's ceased to amaze what they're doing, kind of thing. So I'm excited.
Yeah, like
what do you think about Carl? Because basically, Carl killed Dale. Now, that great actor, but the character I am very, very much against. I'm very much against.
I saw a thing on the internet recently that was like every episode of The Walking Dead. Someone tells Carl to go in the house. Carl's never in the fucking house.
that was a great bit. We're laughing at watching. It's like so they go somewhere else and they just there is that. I mean, it's not fun. It's not a comp, but it's like that little bit of kind of humour. Like they say, go up to the room or something. You're not getting part of this. And he just kind of he doesn't even try and hide it. He just walks around the room, just sort of stands there in plain sight, and they all just kind of turn and look and like. Really, really, Carl. But I'm very much in an angry place at Carl right now. I'm actually going to watch the first episode of The Walking Dead tonight because I got Ross to watch the the first minute, do you remember the first minute of the first episode?
Yes.
Which is one of the most brilliant pieces of television ever made. It's just like, this is what this show is going to be. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be bold. I thought, right, Ross, he's 14, if you don't think the first minute and a half is awesome, you won't watch the show. You watch it, he's like, continue.
If you don't think the first minute and a half of this show is awesome, you're not my brother anymore.
Yeah, that's about right. It was good. I'm looking forward.
Like I said last week, potentially to become an excellent show.
Mm-hmm.
The last 3 or 4 episodes have started to reach that potential.
And that's interesting. Now, because you know there's this whole controversial fact that Darabont left the show, mm-hmm. or was fired or whatever. You think that the best episodes are now since the switch over between Frank Darabont and the current showrunner Glenn Masaras taking place.
Yeah.
There's not like a big point there, but it's mm-hmm. just quite interesting because there's this whole, oh my god, Frank Darabont's left the show, it's going to collapse. But then you're thinking, really kick ass second part of the season.
Yeah, there was a lot of bullshit about when Frank Darabont left, because he left, and then there was a lot of people saying that, well, they just fired everyone. There's no more writer's room.
Oh, there's a lot.
And then like, a couple of weeks later, Robert Cochrane just said that, no, we still have like 8 people on staff. Yeah. We've cut down, we've still got like 8 people. What the fuck are you guys talking about?
It's just incredible. I mean, it's generally, you know, we have that kind of appointment in television, you get excited like a lot. I mean, mm-hmm. the moment the shows that are exciting me are The Walking Dead, Fringe, and Homeland. Very different shows, but mm-hmm. they're kind of like, oh, I need to sit down and watch that. Speak Human as well. I don't know what design shows that are you like, you need to watch apart from the, you know, The Walking Dead.
Well, I watch like every. Because you said you want to talk more about TV this week.
Okay.
I sort of sat down and listed all the shows I'm watching.
Right. Okay, that's good. I just go for it.
Now, this includes shows that are currently airing new episodes, right. Like The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Shows that are currently on a between season or mid season break, like Doctor Who.
Yeah.
All
right. Okay. So not ones that are necessarily on air.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
But they're still making new shows of them, and also shows that I'm just watching back of, like the West Wing.
Right. So basically, every single piece of television that's ever been made that you're currently watching. In a way, in the whole world of TV.
Shows that I'm currently following, basically.
Okay, yeah, that's
it. Is a better way to put it.
What ones?
Guess a number.
First of all. The fact that you watched one season of The West Wing in about a week, just, I don't know what to think. Is it above 20?
Yes.
40?
30.
30 shows?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, we won't list. I don't want you to sit here.
No,
I want you to list.
This includes stuff like The Daily Show and The Colbert Report.
Okay.
And The Talking Dead.
Okay.
As well.
That's great. Sorry.
Not
so much.
But there is 30 shows on this list.
That's amazing.
Fringe
up there.
Yes.
Alcatraz.
Yep.
Okay, no, David's just counting his hand. This is interesting.
Yeah, but I'm trying to see which ones. There's 5, 6 that I'm sort of catching up on.
Right.
Like, I'm catching up on Thirty Rock. I'm still at like season 3 or 4 of that.
Mm-hmm.
6 Feet Under, Sopranos, Muppet Show, and
Muppet Show.
The West Wing, and Twilight Zone actually.
Oh, that's nice. I'm
watching like in their entirety because they've aired completely.
I'm watching quite a lot. I mean, I do that thing when I watch a pilot of a show.
Compulsion. Yeah, you've watched like 50 pilots and like 3 TV shows. three complete series.
Like, so Buffy, Lost, Fringe, Walking Dead. I'm not going to list them. That's just boring. The Office, The American Office. Brilliant.
The Office,
that's like compulsion view.
Although The Office is a weird one for me because like it's been on Comedy Central for a while. And I've seen random episodes from the whole kind of backlog, but I've only seen it like consistently every episode since last season.
Right.
Like I started watching last season because it was Michael Scott's last season.
That's I cried at that as well.
Okay,
I'm a crier at TV things, man. When things are emotional on television, I'm a crier. I wear my heart on my sleeve when it comes to that.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm just sad.
No, that's A lot of people do. They're called fangirls.
Yes.
And
Ren did say that. Ren said that my fangirl was shown, which I found very, very funny.
I
can't remember what it was.
Tell me about that.
It was the script.
It was the zombie story.
It was just incredible. Yeah, I'm a fangirl.
I may have suggested something like that actually. I can't remember. She said to me, I don't even know what to say. And she suggested something like that. And so I said, definitely, just do it.
Sorry. She ran her tweets past you. What, are you the tweet master?
No, I was sort of just.
No, I know what you mean.
If I remember correctly, it was a sort of situation where she doesn't know you that well.
Yeah, no, I know.
And she wasn't sure.
I just want to say hi and
yeah. If I remember correctly, it was that situation where she didn't know you that well, so she wasn't sure if that was a thing that would be okay.
All right. Okay. Like, in case I run away with my table team was.
In case you'd be somehow really viciously insulted.
Oh no.
If I remember correctly,
part of my
it has been a significant amount of conversation we've had between then and now, so I can't exactly remember.
That's good.
And also, point of fact, she's running tweets by you. You ran the tweet you were going to send to her by me.
That is true, actually. That is true.
You drafted that tweet in an email you sent to me.
That's what I did. You're right, yeah.
So, let's not get on your high horse with this, young man.
Rumbled. That's mental. I'm watching Firefly. What? I mean, it's taken me so long ago. That was like, it's been, it's cancelled. But is there any show? We've not got that a lot of time left. But is there any specific shows that you think were cancelled too early, other than Firefly? Not just that.
Arrested Development.
I'm watching that in the morning.
Arrested Development. It got 3 seasons out of
That's
it,
the
but
thing, you know what I mean,
I mean,
it got 3 seasons.
Those.
That it was just great.
It was consistently brilliant, is the thing. Like, it wasn't that they cancelled it because the quality dipped, they cancelled it because people are idiots and no one watching.
That's, yeah, people. people are idiots.
Sorry, people are idiots.
No, that should be a section on the podcast, just you.
American Idol and Big Brother get higher ratings than stuff like Arrested Development and Community and Fringe.
Yeah, that's true. Ooh, Community's coming back.
Community's coming back tonight.
It's I'm on UK time.
Yeah, fuck UK time.
Season two.
I watch almost nothing when it airs in the UK except shows that are made in the UK. Pretty much Sherlock and Doctor Who are the two things I watch when they're on UK TV because they're always on earlier in America, sometimes significantly earlier.
Watch Being Human, man. It's a great British show.
Have you seen the remake, actually? Is that interest?
I've not actually. It's not because I'm like, oh my god, they've remade this precious show. It's just because I've not got around to watching it. Mm. I've had so many other TV shows I'm trying to catch up on, I've just not got around to watching it.
Yeah. I think you think her name's Grant's teaching. She was in Dollhouses, in it. Who's really good?
I watched one episode of Dollhouse, the first one. Again, I was just looking through the list because you've given me that list of films and TV shows to watch. And I was just going through I think I've watched the first episode of 24, Dollhouse, Buffy. I've got the X-Files on my laptop, Supernatural, Freaking Geeks as well, I think. And I've watched a bit of that. So I'm a bit ridiculous when it comes to that.
Dollhouse, you have to go far beyond the pilot.
Yeah,
the pilot,
I wasn't blown away.
Yeah, you're not going to be. If you watch,
it was an interesting concept, but I just wasn't like, I need to come back.
Yeah. Episode 6 will have that effect on you. Because the first 5 or so episodes, it's like, there's a whole thing going on. They're trying to find what the show would be, and they're trying to make it the sort of show that the network wanted, as well as the sort of show they wanted.
Right.
And it wasn't working out.
Okay.
Like, the first few episodes are very sort of, here's a job, here's an engagement,
something
that echoes going on. And then there were little bits of the kind of overarching thing. They sort of, they cast that off a bit in episode 6, Man on the Street.
Right.
And from then on, it just keeps getting better, basically. Season 2, far outweighs season 1 as well.
By that point, did it not start to lose viewers? Which kind of made it doomed? Maybe. I don't know. I just know that... Josh Whedon got to finish this, didn't he? Or Joss Whedon, I keep on saying Josh. Did he not get to kind of close up, kind of finish? I know he probably had much more stories to do, but...
They had this whole... He went in and pitched 5 years.
Right, and
he pitched 5 years, if I remember correctly. I don't know how much of this was going to... I don't know how much of it wound up being a part of it, or like how far the end point that it got to was going to be from the start. So like, for all I know, that the end point they got to was going to happen like around like season 3 or 4, maybe, and then it was just going to completely change.
See that one.
But like, so I don't know where the end point they had fit in with the whole 5 year arc. Mm-hmm. But around the midpoint of season 2, they were told they were cancelled. But they were given the rest of the season. Around the midpoint of writing season 2, okay, they were told they're cancelled. So I don't know how far that is. So like, yeah, they got to sort of rushedly wrap it all up. But
that kind of stuff, you know, like, just talking about Joss Whedon, like, I'm not a big Joss Whedon fan. Mm-hmm. I've just not watched a lot of his stuff, which I want to. I mean, I've watched the first episode of Buffy and I was like, I'm in. Yeah. Like, this is amazing. And
yeah. And season 1's not even the best season.
And Firefly is brilliant. I'm only on episode 4 or something. Okay, but, right, like, a talent like that, you know what I mean? And when you think about some of the kind of hassles or horrible experiences he's had, mm-hmm, with TV, especially Firefly and Dollhouse, those were his last books. But, you know what I mean? So that kind of... That worries me that kind of thing will stop him coming back to TV. Mm-hmm. But I don't think, you know... He's one of those people that would be like, I'm not coming back to you, because I think if he had an idea,
it wasn't good.
After Firefly, was he not? Yeah. Like,
story time, where David knows far too much about Joss Whedon.
Whedon story time with David Kerr.
Once upon a time.
Wow. Once upon a time, actually, just that. I'm looking forward to that.
It's very good.
Awesome.
Sidebar.
That was it. That was once upon a time.
Pretty much. If you've not seen it, there's not much to say. When Firefly ended, he still had Angel and Buffy were still airing. Is when Firefly ended.
I don't know.
Yeah, there was a point when all three were airing at the same time.
So
Joss Whedon was running and controlling three shows at once.
Like, TV says bitch.
I think it was Tim Minear and David Greenwalt. So I took over the main running of Angel, even. And
you just went through all three shows.
Fed by Angel. And Martin Oxen was kind of nominally in charge of the writer's room on Buffy. And he was sort of... Was it Tim, actually, that did Angel? I think Tim may have done... I think it was him and Tim that did Firefly, actually. It would have been David Greenwalt and maybe... What's his face?
I know people love
Ben Edlund.
I'm just getting going with
it. I think it may have been, I don't know, I can't remember. But so there was a point we had three shows on TV at the same time. And Firefly got cancelled. It ended Buffy. Angel got cancelled.
Oh.
So they had to rush through the end of that season as well. They got the end point that they wanted, but it was a lot more rushed. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think they would have done more than 6 seasons of Angel personal, just because of what the end point was they had.
Yeah.
And the fact that I know they had to just rush towards it. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have been more than a season's worth, I don't think. But that was cancelled as well.
You're not selling me in this section of the podcast, Whedon's stories with... with David Kerr. I'm not being sold on it completely.
Well, this is still getting to the point of it. This is how I tell stories. So they were all off there. He was somewhat obsessed with getting to finish the story of Firefly.
Yeah.
Somehow we ended up being able to make a movie.
This is awesome.
Which is just a testament to the Firefly fans.
You being one of them?
Not at the time, actually. I came to Firefly after Serenity was made, actually.
Right.
Because it was... I don't even know if it aired over here.
It probably was.
It wouldn't have been widely publicised. Like, if I knew about it at the time of the airing, I would have been on,
but
it just wasn't, like... If it was on UK TV, it wasn't on one of the, like, big channels that would have advertised for it, basically. So I sort of came to it when I found out that it existed, which is after Serenity was made.
Okay.
So, like, basically the movie was made because of the fans.
That's cool.
Like,
I like that.
Smart executives saw people loved it, and the fans helped just sort of realise, no, I should add this. What I'm trying to get this made isn't pointless.
Well,
and then he wasn't going to come back to TV. He didn't plan on it. Then he had a meeting with Eliza Dushku, who plays Echo. She had an overall deal with Fox to make shows. And they're just having a conversation because they're friends. He was just sort of saying, this is the sort of stuff I think you should be doing. This is the story you'll hear being told. Having dinner, he went to the bathroom, came back with a show.
That's awesome.
They were talking about it, went to the bathroom, came back with the whole idea, and then at some point came up with a title.
Cool.
And it was sort of that way. I have a title now, I have to do it.
That's cool. That's awesome. That's a good story. You brought that really back around.
When I got to that true story, I was originally telling.
You could have literally just said the conception of the dollhouse involved him going to the bathroom.
You started asking me about other things. Okay. So I had to go back.
That's my fault. My bad. Talking about fans, I mean, like, Chuck was basically a fan. You know, that show.
I've heard that.
Was powered by the fans, like, complete. I mean, it was like from season two onwards, it was in constant trial cancellation. Fans were out and bought Subway, Subway's the
yeah.
You know, the Times
place.
And they'd buy it and then they'd write a card like Save Chuck or something like that.
Or
I Love Chuck. They were going to Subway because of Chuck.
Yeah.
Which then kept the show going and it got to conclude to a really, you know, heartbreaking and satisfying finale, which again, running theme is I wept like a little girl. I don't think it's a sign of weakness. I think it's manly tears. It was manly tears when I bit my chest afterwards,
like,
and punched a lamppost.
Like, I get incredibly emotionally invested in TV.
Also, yeah. Too much porn.
Like, ridiculously. Like, on my shittiest and most depressed day, I can watch an episode of Buffy, Angel or Firefly and instantly feel better.
Awesome.
Like, I'm incredibly invested in them.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I've never cried at a film or TV show.
There will come a time, David. I will make you cry.
It's nothing to do with that. Like, the closest I've ever came is an episode of Buffy. ridiculously sad.
You just choked up a little bit there.
You will.
I will. If I get invested
you
in the
shows, will just you.
I won't be able to.
You will drown
in my own tears.
Because, and part of it is the fact that there's no music.
Oh, is that the body?
Yeah.
Okay, I've seen that.
Yeah.
I didn't. Because I hadn't.
You didn't know Joyce.
I didn't know.
But
even there, I mean, I was getting goosebumps, and I felt emotional.
It's because of it's the lack of sound and the fact that, like, you realise sometimes that sound can sort of, like, music can sort of gauge you in emotions, but it also, like, allows you to sort of, like, step back.
You
can't escape. Like, when Anya has that speech, where she says, like, she can't understand why she can't just get back into the body,
because she's,
and no one will tell her why, and then your voice breaks when she says why. And you sort of can't escape that because there's nothing else.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching Buffy.
Yeah. Also, interestingly with that was the first time Willow and Tara had kissed on screen. And they decided to just drop it into that episode, rather because a lot of shows would sort of like have this lesbian couple, and thus the first time they kiss on screen, that's the episode they kiss.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't want to do that. So just like that, oh, Joyce is dead, in terms of sad episode, yep. It seemed to come to what happened here, it's right on there.
It's awesome. I could talk about TV all day later, and we kind of have a little
bit. Can and do.
Our good friend Olga. Colour Tofu Facebook.
Did you?
Status, yeah. I posted last night, you know, we're recording the second episode of the podcast. Anybody of our 34 likes, you're like, to discuss anything. And she just quite plainly and simply, Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr.
Now, no specifications on what to say of Robert Downey Jr., just discuss Robert Downey Jr. I think the man is quite incredible.
Oh, yeah.
I like him. Actually, you know.
Yeah.
Again, Tropic Thunder. You go with just Tropic Thunder.
Callbacks and relationships. The story of there's a story of Joss Whedon and Robert Downey Jr. on set of the Avengers. Well, they're doing a scene, and Robert Downey Jr. went away to Joss and said that, you know, I think this should be more about me. I think we should do it this way, and it should be more about Iron Man. It should be more his scene.
Oh,
should go through his and Joss felt that. Oh, okay, we'll try it that way. Did it that way. Joss went back over to that. Yeah, no, whatever you do like that. and I, like you sort of get that idea of, like, from that story, and it was Robert Downey Jr. that I heard telling the story.
That's cool.
And like, if you hear that, you can sort of think, on the one hand, that he's like, well, that guy's just a dick.
Yeah, because
if you hear it a certain way, but like I would like to think that it was just sort of like Robert Downey Jr. just kind of like that. This is a TV guy. Let's see how he handles this sort of thing.
That, or like he was testing him, do you think?
I like to think that he did that because that's like Robert Downey Jr. I would like to think he's not just a dick that wants to film to be all about him.
I don't think that. I mean, I think in terms of. I would like to think about actors and especially Robert Downey Jr. They want to make the best of the film, and they think if they have an idea, they should go to the director and say, "Why don't we do this?"
Yeah, but he wasn't saying we should sort of. Yeah, like, he went over and said, "This scene should be over Iron Man."
Okay, I think that's a fair.
This should be all about me. Basically, is what he said. Yeah. This was him telling the story.
Robert Downey Jr. Can plays on that sort of.
And I would like to think that he would just sort of like. It's a TV guy. And like, because Joss is, he's got a cult following, yeah. And like everyone in the industry likes him, but he is a TV guy.
You're one of the cult following?
Of course.
I mean, I have the hopes that I'll become an honorary member.
Yes. And like,
you always look like the Whedon Master fan now. You still look like, yes. You may become one, but you may not.
We have some forms you need to fill in.
Sorry, okay, I'm out.
Photo ID.
I'm out.
Sorry, I tripod for that.
Yeah, I forgot my tripod. We're talking Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. I would like to think that he was just sort of like seeing what. Because from what I understand, it was fairly early on in the shoot, and I would like to sort of think he would just sort of see how he would handle this sort of thing. And not just being a bit of a dick, but.
I don't know. I like Robert Downey Jr. I like Iron Man 1 and 2. Further enough, there's actually we've got a poster of Iron Man 2 in the that's a really nice poster that I came up with.
Yeah.
And in the dining room, much to my mom and dad's dismay. There's a Back to the Future poster and a Iron Man poster. and every time we had a Christmas dinner in there, I'm pretty sure mum just looked at me and was like, having a Christmas. I mean, it wasn't even a poster of Robert Downey Jr., it was a poster of Iron Man. I mean, in the suit, like all cartoonized. So you know, it's that wasn't, you know. She, if she had a choice, she'd probably prefer just have Robert Downey Jr. That poster on the wall.
Is this why they're building you a shed thing?
Yeah, I think so.
Just get all this shit out of our house.
Because I think I found my thing that I want to collect. The poster. In fact, we got a chalk poster, like a smaller one as well, which is just sort of sitting in the dining room. I think that was like. He's just gonna go and be uncontrollable. Let's just buy him somewhere. He's not gonna move out soon. As much as he would like. He's not gonna move out soon.
You're getting a house.
We need to do something. We need to do something about him.
We'll get a shack in the backyard.
it's all in good jest. That's quite funny. Yeah. I think that'd be quite funny. Part of
I happened to ask Tumblr about. Questions that they had.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't have a Tumblr.
I got one response.
Cool. What was it?
From friend Jackie. His question was, why is Jackie so cool? I'm going to throw that to you. See what you come up with. Not knowing Jackie.
Well, I think, in my humble opinion, that Jackie is cool because she listens to this. And therefore wastes at least an hour of her time talking about, listening to us talk about things that hopefully she'll be interested in. But apart from that, she's not afraid to be who she wants to be. You know what I mean? She's like, I am who I am. This is what I like. If you don't like it, go and have a little chat with the suits over there. Have a little conversation with them. Have that little common conversation, because I want to talk about what I want to talk about, which is admirable. And she is tall.
I'm going to stop you there.
Which I envy. So whenever somebody's tall, like, that's cool. She's small, which is even cooler. Because, that's...
I'm going to stop
Jackie's
you there.
Jackie's cool, though. She's cool.
Already.
As a girl, I've not just... As a guy. Jackie, and I'm saying she's so cool.
It is, yes.
Okay. So you didn't even ask... See, it was a... You said it is... Woman?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, Jackie.
Yeah. I was going to answer that, I thought it would be more interesting to see you flounder around this question.
I thought I answered it quickly.
Not knowing her.
I thought I answered it quickly. Did I just about get Jackie right?
When you got to tall, you were clearly grasping.
Yeah. I can't think of anything else to say with Jackie. She's just such an all-encompassing person of coolness that I can't think of any one thing that's like, oh, there's so many words that's gone to mind, like, it's like, I'm having a Jackie meltdown over here.
Is Jackie mania up in this podcast?
Jesus. initially, I thought you meant Jackie Brown. Like, no, she's not. She's a bit annoying, actually. And then, not Jackie, you're Jackie. Jackie Brown's annoying.
Just keep digging.
What? Jackie Brown's not going to listen to the podcast.
There's going to be someone called Jackie Brown who stumbles across this on iTunes.
That'd be quite funny.
Listens to it. This is entertaining. But Jackie Brown's been annoying. Oh, fuck you guys.
Half a star. Who's the nasally get that's insulting? Insulting me and my prowess as being a human being. But yeah, so that was a good...
Yeah.
I think that's probably a good...
That was a good question.
That was a good question. I like that. I mean, if anybody, or if any of you are in, listening, just, drop us a Facebook, find us on Facebook or Twitter, Killer Tofu Films. Am I right? That's what we are?
Yep.
Okay. just drop a post or anything, just saying, hey guys, you guys are...
Hey guys.
Horrible. Please make it better by talking about this. So, do that if you want. Just one last. No, this is probably a ridiculous thing to end on. But
is this a Columbo moment?
No.
Is there one more thing?
The alternative title that my friend Erin came up with for Woman in Black. This was what she kept saying quite a lot, on the lead up to the film and at the beginning of the film. The Slut in Noir. That's what the alternative title. Which she kept on saying to people, and they had no idea what she was talking about. I didn't have any idea what she was talking about, actually. But,
yeah. Noir is black.
Yeah. And I don't really know what the other bit came. But yeah.
That was even worse than Whedon's story time with David.
Yeah.
Eden's story time with Chris was even worse.
You've taken your life in your own hands, yeah.
No, not because of what Eric said.
Just because of the way I butchered it. Yeah. Anyway, back to Jackie. She's cool. Yeah. So, I think we'll probably wrap it up. Unless, did you get anything else you want to say?
Not that I can remember.
This is a fucking great end.
No,
I don't know. What? Nah, I'm just kidding.
What? Do you expect, like, a fucking 11 o'clock number? Just to end on a big song?
Yes, I did. I expected a big song and dance. You know, we should get the couple in the beginning of the room, get them to do a little dance number for us.
We'll have them dance. With no music.
I bet you they're the quietest dancers in the world. They're not even tap dancers. Tap dancers, you could bring something to the table. They wouldn't even be able to do that. They'd be like, I don't know, man. I'm still not convinced that they were... Because it just, look, you guys, you know, need in this room? Yes, get out.
Yeah, in this room? Zoop. Nope.
And now, you say that, that's what was going through my mind.
That's because you're a pervert, Chris.
Don't end it in that. When I say you want to say anything, I don't want you to you know... Label my, drag my name through the dark. Yeah.
That sentence went well.
Interesting, you know that Robert Downey Jr. was a fat guy strangler in Family Guy? That's Patrick Pewterschmidt. Interesting. Maybe, I don't know. Anybody interested? I don't think, you know, I think when Olga watched it as well,
I'm just going to be thoroughly disappointed.
Thoroughly disappointed. We probably won't hear from her again. But,
From what I understand, he is... I read this last night on Tumblr. Adorable.
I mean, I'm envious of the guy's beard, man. The guy can carry a beard. I have a beard complex.
Fetish, what might you call it?
No, not a complex. It's a pretty good beard. Right, we could probably end it on this. Thank you. If you got this far, thank you.
Dude, at least
you're a better person than we are.
Dude, at least we didn't spend a good 10 minutes miming. There's a lot less sort of, and now this is happening because we're forgetting we're okay.
So now you're doing the postmortem on the podcast. So basically, you're critiquing what we've just done.
No, this was better because last week there was a lot of. last week there's a lot of like forgetting we're on audio.
That was
and
true.
I was being very animated around the recording and then like having to realise no, this, you
this
can't
is true.
See.
Should we have a cool send up sign off? Like a you know, some kind of thing.
Like an
stretched this in too.
Like an enjoy your burrito sort of thing. Is that what you're looking for?
I don't know.
Or a go fuck yourself, San Diego.
No, that wasn't what I was looking for. Yeah, we've stretched this end a bit long.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Thank you for watching.
Oh, God! Listening, Chris!
That's it. Thank you for watching. Wow.